Good morning, boys and girls. All right, 500 points for both teams. That works better on the real little ones. It doesn't work for you guys, does it? Okay. Now, as you can see, we have an image. We have an image. Let me just adjust the... I was going to ask somebody else, but you got it. Let's do it. Heavenly Father, thank you for answering prayer and for providing that and being able to get our data projector going. Thank you for Brother and Sister McKenna organising the data projector and bringing it here. And Lord, I thank you for the young people here at camp, for their enthusiasm, for their attentive ears and hearts. And I pray that you would really bless each one of them this morning as we have this session. Lord, give them a special truth, a special blessing, just what they need this morning. And please help me to deliver it very clearly. And we'll give you the praise for all the wonderful things you do, Lord Jesus. Amen. Alrighty, what we're going to do now is just do a real quick review of last night's one, where you can all see it properly. How about that? Okay, so let's go through it. And we talked about the fact that we need to put on our whole, the whole series is called the whole armour of God. And the first piece that we looked at after we saw that in those days the soldiers wouldn't have had all the evenly matched uniforms like they had by the times of the Romans, certainly in the early days. And we saw about how they used bows and arrows and swords and spears. And then we got to the Roman soldiers. And it was these Roman soldiers that the Apostle Paul used as a model to show you and me who are Christians what it's like to be in the battle that we're in the Christian life. Because we have an enemy, and the enemy is
invisible,
very good, and the captain of the enemy army is the devil, Satan, right? And we can't see that enemy, and our battle is not against... Thank you very much. Our battle's not against non-Christians, and you're right, we're not battling flesh and blood, and that's what we're talking about. Flesh and blood are people, and we're not out there trying to hurt and trying to kill people who are not Christians. In fact, we're trying to win them to the Lord Jesus. And we began to look at the whole armour of God. And of course, the first one that we looked at last night was the belt of truth. And we understood that when we are able to stand, we have to have our loins, that is our waist, girt about. And girt means to go around. And from girt you get the word girdle, right? And we are girt about with a girdle or a belt. And it's not talking about a real belt, it's talking about something else. Say it again.
Truth.
Truth, right? So we use this picture of a soldier with all of his kit, but what we're really talking about is our life and what we live like and what we do. And the first and most important thing that we saw was to do with truth. Okay? And we saw that truth is the most important thing to deal with in life. We saw that the Lord Jesus said, I am truth, right? And the Lord Jesus is the truth. To become a Christian, we must believe the truth about who the Lord Jesus is. And if you are a Christian, then you must be true and truthful too, just like the Lord Jesus. I hope you got those things written down last night. Now, of course, we saw that the devil is a liar and that he tries to get people, including Christians, to believe lies and to tell lies. Now, I didn't mention it last night, but one of the lies that the devil has got most people in the world believing is
evolution.
Okay? Everyone's heard about evolution, right? Now, evolution is what people invented to try to explain how everything got here so that they didn't have to say it was God who put everything here. And so they came up with this idea of evolution. Evolution is not true. Evolution is not science. You want me to say that again?
Yeah.
Evolution is not true. Now, a person can choose to believe it's true, but they have to choose to believe it's true. Just like a person has to choose to believe that God is true and that we are created by a loving, caring, intelligent God. Or we can choose to believe what a bunch of people on TV say and a lot of school teachers say, and that is that we got here through a Big Bang and evolution, and that there is no wonderful designer, that it all happened by accident. You think this building got here by accident?
No.
Do you think someone designed it and built it? Of course. Are we more complex or less complex than a building? We're more complex than a building. Okay? You know that just in your lungs alone, just your lungs alone, all the fibers that make it up and the way that your lungs can take oxygen, and as you breathe in, your lungs filter the air that you've breathed in, and your lungs grab the pieces of oxygen and poke it through the wall of your lungs into your bloodstream, and it's taken to your heart, and then it's pumped through your body, and then when it's finished with, it puts it back through, and then as you breathe out carbon dioxide without the oxygen in it. What on earth am I talking about? Okay? All that stuff, that's just your lungs, let alone all the rest of your body and all the other amazing things that we've got. Now tell me, if I was to walk over to the wall there with a sledgehammer and smash a hole in the wall and then walk along and break a window and then go home and come back next year, would that wall have been able to grow back into place so that it was all just like it used to be, and the window would all sort of put itself back together, and when I got back in a year's time it was just like it was before? No. But guess what? The other day I banged my leg on the corner of the coffee table and there was a big bruise came up and stuff. Guess what? The bruise is gone now, my leg's all better. And I cut myself the other day too. I can't remember where it was now, because it's gone. It's healed up. Our body has been made so wonderfully that it can actually heal up. Can this building heal up?
Yes.
No, it can't.
Fix it.
No, someone, you, a person, has to go and fix it. The building can't fix itself, can it? No. What's that? It's not a plan. A plant, did you say? Okay, that's right. You see, we're made by God. The building's made by man. But it's still made by somebody. And young people, you have to make a choice. Do I believe that all the amazing things in the universe and this world were made and planned and designed by somebody really, really smart? Or by nothing? And over the years I've discovered that nothing produces nothing. Okay, but we've got to press on. But that's a big lie that the devil is using. And when you get people like Richard Attenborough with his soft and deep voice talking about all these things on the TV, it sounds so true. But it's A lie. Okay? Don't believe it. All right. By the way, the devil tries to get us to tell lies too. When it was us who did it, we go, oh, I don't know. Okay? That's a lie. Don't tell lies. Tell the truth. You're better off telling the truth. Okay? And God has given us something that is true because it's from Him and it's your Bible. All right. So, we have our loins girt about with truth. Now, let's move on to today's one. Today, we look at the next one. The next piece of armour, which is? No, it's not. Read your notes. The sandals. Haven't you guys got a Bible? Open it up to Ephesians chapter 6. Come on, somebody. Thank you very much. It is the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, open up your Bible. Have a look at what it says. All right? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. I want you all to read it together because obviously you haven't memorized it yet. That's right. Okay. Let's read the whole verse together. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Read. Your. All right, so the second piece of our kit, the second piece of armour that we're going to look at is called the breastplate of righteousness. It was a belt of truth, and this is a breastplate of righteousness. So, is God telling us to go out and get some metal stuff and stick on our chest or some Kevlar body armour or something like that? No, he's talking about having righteousness in our lives. That's what we're talking about. Now, believe it or not, boys and girls, young people, kids, yous, you lot, whatever I'm going to call yous, okay? Now, believe it or not, listen, a few years back I met some Christians who had some silly ideas about the armour of God. They thought that when a Christian got up in the morning, in order to protect themselves against the devil, they would have to say, Lord, I'm putting on my belt of truth. I'm putting on my breastplate of righteousness. I'm putting on my sandals, and go through all the things like that. And then think that by going through that little silly prayer, that as they walked through the day, whatever they did, they would be safe. Duh, that's not what God has in mind. God has in mind that we would put on the belt of truth so that throughout the day we will tell the truth. And we will be truthful in everything like the Lord Jesus was. And so this one is telling us that throughout the day we need to be
righteous.
So let's learn about this breastplate of righteousness. Now in Bible times, and up the top there you actually can see a photograph of stuff, okay? We'll come back to that in a moment. But these are this is the breastplate of righteousness here. And this is the same sort of thing, only this is what's called a coat of mail rather than plates of armour. And this here, a close-up would look something like this, or look like if you had wire and stitched all wire together and you knitted a shirt made out of wire. Okay? That's another way that you could make it. But this one here is in the Israel Museum in Jerusalem, and it is a breastplate that the archaeologists dug up there in Israel, and it was the sort of breastplate that King Saul probably wore. Okay? We know that someone wore it, and it probably wasn't King Saul, but remember when David went to go and fight Goliath, and King Saul said to him, listen, you can take my armour and my sword. And he offered him his breastplate, like that. But it was much too big for David. Saul was about 7 foot tall, and David was only a youth, probably 16 or 17 years of age, okay? And so it was much too big, and it would have slowed him down. And so he said, thanks, but no thanks. But that is the sort of thing that people in ancient times in Israel, it would be someone like the king or the general or the captain and the high-ranking officers and the royalty who would wear a breastplate. Most of the soldiers weren't able to have one. But by the time we come to the New Testament, remember I said it last night, the Roman soldiers, they had uniforms and they all were provided with a full kit of armour. And after your belt of truth, the next thing was this breastplate of righteousness. Now, young people, if we were in a sword fight, and what's your name?
Grant.
Grant. Would you be willing and brave like a soldier to come up the front here, Grant? Come on, be brave. Not you. All right, now, we need... There you go. We need a sword each. Where's mine? No. All right. I'll borrow this sword here. Rightio. Okay. You're an enemy soldier. I'm the good guy. Okay? Look, he feels sad already. All right. Come on. Fight. Ooh, ow! Ah, ah! He got me on the back of the hand. Now, young people, if I got cut on the back of the hand in this sword fight, this battle, and I go, ouch, I can't fight anymore, and I run back to camp and they bandage me up and stuff, am I able to come back the next day and continue to fight and be a bit more careful? Yes. The answer is?
Yes.
Okay. But if I go like this and I try to stab him, but while I'm like that in the air, he gets his sword and it's over here, okay? He gets his sword and thrusts it through my heart. Will I be able to come back the next day and fight?
No,
I won't. Okay. You might be because you're heartless, okay? All right? But if you get stabbed through the heart, you're dead. All right? Young people, that is why a soldier wears the breastplate. That is why today, if you see a policeman down the street, today he'll be wearing a bulletproof vest. You'll notice he's got a bulletproof vest, but he hasn't got bulletproof sleeves, because if you get shot in the arm, you usually don't die. But you get shot in the chest, and you are as good as dead. Okay? Let's not... If you get shot through the stomach, you very possibly will survive. Okay? Boys and girls, hey! Bit of common sense now. You get shot in the chest, you're dead. Okay? You aim for the heart, and the enemy is dead. The heart needs to be protected. That is why the soldiers have a breastplate. That is why our police and those in the army have bulletproof vests. Okay? Believe it or not, many a person has been shot through the head and survived. But if you get shot through the heart, you don't survive. You've got to protect your heart. Young people, the breastplate protects the heart. If you want to copy something down, there's something you can copy down. The breastplate protects the heart. Why is it that we need to protect our heart? To live. Okay? Because if you take a hit in the heart, your life is gone. It's shot. All right? Now, We're talking, who are we talking to? Who is the armor for? What sort of people? What sort of people? Christians. Okay? The armor is for Christians. These messages and the armor is for someone who's become a Christian. And remember, for those of you who haven't become a Christian yet, this is what you will be able to have. This is what God wants for you when you once you become a Christian. Okay? You need to think about the truth of what you're learning here. And then you need to make that choice to trust in the Lord Jesus. And when you do, you need to make sure that you protect your heart, because the heart is the real you. Okay? The heart is what you are really like. Now, we're going to you need to understand, young people, that we're talking about what we call spiritual things. It's not talking about a real belt, it's talking about the truth. It's literally now that we're talking about righteousness. We're not talking about your real ticking heart here. We're talking about having righteousness in your life. But let's focus on this word heart for a minute, because the Bible talks a lot about the heart. And when the Lord Jesus talks about the heart, when the Bible in general talks about the heart, it's talking about who you really are. Okay? Not who you pretend to be on the outside to impress us, but who you really are and who God really sees. Young people, you can pretend and you can fake it to us, you can fake it to your parents, you can trick everyone in the whole world into thinking that you are a Christian or thinking that you behave properly and that you're this or you're that, but the Bible says God looks on the heart. God sees the real you. He knows what you're really like. Okay? When no one else is looking, the sort of things that you do, the sort of things that you listen to, the sort of things that you look at, the sort of things that you think about, guess who knows? God does. You can't escape His eye, as it were. He knows everything about you. So you might as well give up pretending and give Him your heart. Because the Bible says that when you become a Christian, God takes away, as it were, your old wicked heart and gives you a new heart. That's what it means to become a Christian. God is all about heart transplants, okay? Not our physical heart, but He wants to take away your old, wicked, dead, stony heart. And when you become a Christian, He gives you a wonderful, new, living heart that can love and serve God and enjoy the wonderful things that all of us are able to enjoy who are Christians. Okay? And so when you become a Christian, you get a new heart. And guess what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit lives in the heart of the Christian. If you've got your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. These banners weren't up here last night, were they? Hey, look, who made them up? They're cool. Well done, sis. Thank you. Looks great. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Are you there? Can you see it? All right, let me read it to you. And this is talking about God. You see the last word in verse 21? It says God. Okay, God who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Read it with me. In our hearts. Okay? Now listen, some of you older Christians, some of you leaders will know the verse from Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Can someone quote that? Can anyone quote Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9? Yeah. Well, quote the part that I'm after. That's right. So, do you think the Holy Spirit would like to dwell in something that's deceitful and desperately wicked? No, he doesn't. He doesn't, you see. That verse is talking about whose heart? The Christian's heart or the unsaved person's heart? The unsaved person's heart. The one that's talking at the deceitful and desperately wicked heart is talking about the not a Christian's heart. Okay? When we become a Christian, God gives us a new heart. And a heart where the Holy Spirit is happy to live. Right? Can you read that verse there in 2 Corinthians 1:22? Does it say that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in, living in our heart? Is that what it says or not? Yes, it does. You see? And so as a Christian, you now have a new heart. Your heart no longer is deceitful and desperately wicked. Your heart now is a place where God has put the Holy Spirit, and your heart now is capable of following, serving, loving God and hearing from God. Isn't that wonderful? As a Christian, now we have a heart that can hear from God. Now, a Christian can't lose their salvation, but a Christian can have a heart attack. Okay? A Christian can have a heart attack, right? Let me explain it this way, young people. I've just finished, I hope, are you listening? Hopefully I've made it quite clear that once you become a Christian, you get a new heart. And that someone lives in that heart, namely the Holy Spirit. Now, is it possible for a Christian to sin? Yes, it is possible for a Christian to sin. And that's what we might call a heart attack, okay? Is a heart attack good for you? Hey? Is a heart attack good for you?
Yes.
When was the last time you had a heart attack?
He's not old enough.
Not old enough? Well, I'll give him one right now. Okay, we'll make him old enough. All right. A heart attack's not good for you, right? And when a Christian chooses to disobey God and sin, is that good for him? No, it's not. It's like a heart attack. And if you wanted to write it down, if you're really quick, you can put down Acts chapter 5, verse 1, where a couple of Christians listen to the temptations of the devil, and they sin. They do a bad thing. They lie to the Holy Spirit. And that verse, these people's names are Ananias and Sapphira, and that verse tells us that they did it in their heart. Okay? So it's possible, just like we say, and we're not talking about our real heart here, we're talking about the real us. Once we become a Christian, we are safe. We are God's child. We're in God's family, but we can still be disobedient. We can still sin. So we have this new heart, but our heart can still do the wrong thing and sin. Okay? It is possible still for us to choose wrong, but our heart is a new heart. But we have to protect our heart with... What do I do with my remote? Set it there, thank you. All right? We have to protect it through living righteously. What does it say? Read it with me. The Lord Jesus was righteous. He always did what was right. With his help, so can we. Okay? Righteousness is a big word, isn't it? But you see the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 letters? The first five letters say right, righteousness, doing what is right. What is the right thing to do in this particular situation I find myself in? No one's looking. There's some money lying there. I need some money. I need some money to buy lollies. When at the canteen time, what was it called, canteen? What do we? Tuck shop. At tuck shop time this afternoon. No one's looking. I need money for the tuck shop. This must be God's provision for me. I remember, well, it's true, I saw Silas put it there earlier on. He pulled it out of his pocket and put it there and walked out. But obviously, God was moving in his heart in a special way to put it there for me. So if I take it, I don't have to tell him. And if he asked, where did it go? Then I can say, ask him. Mate, it was probably, he looks shifty, that guy. Is that the right thing to do? No, it's not. You see, we do what's right. But for those of you who were at the church at Melanda night before last, Sunday night, is being righteous and being like the Lord Jesus just about what we don't do? Yes. No. Is it just about what we don't do?
Yes.
No. Is it just about what we don't do?
Yes.
No. It's also about what we do. Okay? Doing right is more about what we do than what we don't do. Where did we find those people who hadn't lied for 35 years and hadn't gossiped for 75 years? No, you got the last one wrong. I'm not going to ask you. Where did we find them? In the cemetery. They were dead. Okay? Young people, yes, we are to be dead to sin, but we are to be alive to God through our righteousness. And the Lord Jesus, if you're very quick, you can turn to John chapter 10. Now, what do I do with my glasses? There they are. John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, we read this in verse 32. The Lord Jesus answered them, that is the Jews who were going to stone him. He said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And they said, for good work we stone thee not. What did the Lord Jesus show and say to these people were the example of him being righteous, doing the right thing? It was his good works. It was what he did. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. That's right. Back near Revelation, okay? Turn to Revelation, the last book in the Bible, and then go towards the front just a little bit and you'll find 1 John. There are three of them there, 1 John, 2 John and 3 John. 1 John has actually got five chapters and I want you to find the second chapter, okay? 1 John chapter 2, verse 29 says, now you think I'm making this up, don't you? No, I know you don't. Okay? This is what I'm telling you is from the Bible. Look at what it says in verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, who's that talking about? The Lord Jesus. If you know the Lord Jesus is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Now, S is not the word I want. Do you... No, I'll use an S word. Did you see what other word is there besides the word righteousness? There's another very important word in that verse apart from the word righteousness, which appears twice. Yes, sir? Doeth. Okay? Doeth. See, just before righteousness, the second time it's there, anyone that doeth righteousness. What did we say? It's not about what you don't do. It's about what you do. You see, the Lord Jesus did righteous things. When we say, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't gamble, I don't lie, I don't steal, I don't, I'm not on Facebook, I don't do nothing. I'm dead, right? So when I say that, am I doing anything? No. But here we see that the Lord Jesus did righteousness. You with me, boys and girls? It's not saying he didn't do nothing. Well, actually, didn't do nothing means he did something. That's bad grammar. Okay? We've got some Jubilee students here or whatever. You're good at grammar, right? No? No idea. How about grandpa? Not good at grandpa either, as well as grandma. Okay. All right. Now, young people, he did righteousness. He did stuff. He did good stuff. Doing right means doing good things. Let's look at verse 7 of chapter 3. It should be on the same page, hopefully. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 says, little children, that's talking to Christians, let no man deceive you. Don't let anyone trick you. He that saith it with me doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, the Lord Jesus, is righteous. So come down now to verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, of the devil, and slew, that is, murdered his brother. And why did he slay him? Wherefore slew he him? Why did he murder him? Read it with me. Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. His brother's works were righteous. Does that make sense? His works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. Do you see how righteousness is about doing good works, doing good things? The Lord Jesus said, if you want to believe or not whether I am the Son of God and that God is my Father and that I am the one who came down from heaven, look at the good things I've done. That's what righteousness is about, young people. Doing right. Doing right. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? What happens in that story? A man goes, he's travelling from Jerusalem, which is up on a mountain, and he's travelling from Jerusalem down through a number of valleys, and it's pretty rugged country there, okay? And he was going down to a city that was down by the edge of the Jordan River, and as about halfway down those mountains, what happened to him?
He got robbed.
He got robbed. And did those people just say, okay, stick him up? No, because they didn't have guns, right? Okay, but they just say, hey, give us your money. Is that all they did?
No.
What did they do?
They beat him.
They beat him up and left him for dead. Okay, they left him for dead. He's lying on the side of the road. Now, when we talk about road, we're not talking about a bitumen road where cars go backwards and forwards. We're just talking about a dirt track that people basically walk up and down and maybe donkeys or camels. It's only a track about this wide, okay? Right? Have you ever walked through a bush track? Right? A bush track's only about as wide as the aisle here, right? And if someone's lying on the edge of the road, you should be able to see them. And the Bible says that along came two men who were supposed to be righteous. Okay? A priest and a Levite. They're two men who are supposed to be righteous, supposed to be people who love God and do righteous things. And they came and they looked on this guy, and the Bible says, what did they do? They passed by him. Did they do the right thing?
No.
No, they didn't. Did they actually do something bad like hit him or kick him? No. See, they left him. They did nothing. Now, don't smoke, don't drink, don't eat, don't smell. Well, do smell. Okay, you name it. When we say I don't do nothing, is that always right? No. And along came a Samaritan and he helped him. He did something, right? Young people, that is the sort of thing that will protect your heart. Okay? If you are just trying not to do bad things as a Christian, you're in trouble, young people. Your heart is going to be vulnerable. You haven't got your breastplate of righteousness on if you're just trying not to do bad things. The best way to protect your heart is to say, yes, I'm not going to do bad things anymore. I'm going to do good things. Only about three of you said that. Does that mean that the rest of you are shy or that all this talking didn't get through to you? Okay, let me say it again. The best way to protect your heart, Christian, is not just to not do bad things, but to make sure you do
good things.
Or, say it, righteousness. Okay, righteousness, good things, doing the right thing, like the Lord Jesus always did. Okay, so that very much, I did it again. Pick it up. All right, well, you weren't supposed to see him. He's going to be on tonight. Okay. All right, now, young people, we are about done, but I just have one more thing to say to you before we're finished. Okay. And that is, just to tell you another quick story about a man that you've probably never heard of, okay? A man by the name of Latimer. That very strange name, all right? Because his name was Latimer. He lived about 400 years ago, so it's a lot, talking about a long time ago. But this particular man, he wasn't a Christian, but he thought he was a Christian. He was a religious man. He went to church all the time and he read his Bible a bit and he actually tried to teach other people about God, but he wasn't a Christian. And he had a friend whose name was Blinny, and the man named Blinny had just become a Christian. And he wanted to help his friend Latimer become a Christian. Because Blinny thought to himself, man, I can't talk real good, okay, and stuff. But Latimer, he's really clever and he can really explain things really well. Lord, if he could become a Christian, I know that he could really tell lots of people and help lots of people to become Christians. And Blinny tried to tell Latimer about the Lord Jesus, but of course Latimer was much smarter than Blinny. And he didn't listen to him. But you know what? Latimer noticed that Blinny had changed, that he was a different man now, and that he was now a real righteous man. And after a while, Latimer went to Blinny and said, what have you got? And Blinny told him that he had become a real Christian, and Latimer became a Christian too. And straight away, Latimer was like the Apostle Paul. He went out and he started telling all the others in the skillful way that he could talk about becoming a Christian. And you know, lots of people started saying nasty things, and we're not just talking about in a room like this, but in the public places. Like today, it would be the equivalent to being like on television and in the newspapers. They would say nasty things to him, and he would be standing up in a big group of people, and people would say these nasty things to him. And the wonderful thing was that Latimer didn't say nasty things back, but he spoke the truth back, and he explained where that person was wrong and told everyone what the truth was and what was right. And in everything that Latimer did, people went, wow, that is so good. That is so righteous. And Latimer got a reputation for being the most honest and righteous man in all of England. Even his enemies recognised it. How about that? Because what he did was always right. Righteous. Okay? Young people, do right. Do right. And God will bless you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the young people. Lord, explaining righteousness is a challenge. And I thank you for your help. And I pray that each of the young ones would understand about this wonderful matter of righteousness. Lord, help those who are not yet Christians to understand what they've learnt this morning and to make that choice to become a Christian too. Lord, for those dear young ones who are Christians, help them to put on the breastplate of righteousness, and that they may be like you, Lord Jesus. We ask this in your name. Amen.